Blog Talk Radio.
How are you guys doing today? This is a Dynamic Word Bible Studies, where one day a week my bedroom becomes a radio studio and we get to do some Bible study with each other and some of our closest friends and some people we don't even know. This is your host. God bless you.
Thank you.
This is your host, Felicia DeRozier, and my wonderful co-host,
Mariah, and Cross, her son.
Mariah is my daughter. As usual, apparently there is already a contest as to which one's my favorite. We're not telling. I love all
that,
my
children.
Wait,
do you have a favorite? You said you're not telling. It's all right. I'll say it. It's me. I got you, Mom.
So I do have a third child. She's my sweet middle child, but way, way shy. So she doesn't come on the radio with us.
She's really cute.
I'm sure she would think she's the favorite too, wouldn't she?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I love you guys all. So, as usual, we're going to cut to commercial break. We are expecting a guest, but she hasn't come yet, so we'll see. Hopefully, everything will work out for that. But for right now, we're going to pop over to commercial break, and we'll see you in about 3 minutes.
We all know that times are tough, and things are really expensive right now. So why not save a little bit of your wallet, as well as the landfill? Marty.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked, or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marty.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Studies at Facebook and find Marty.com on our comments. You'll be able to get this free discount code. It's going to give you $20 off, and it's also a great way to support our show and keep those landfills light and to save some money in your wallet. And I'm all about saving money. So check out Marty.com.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ritter. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
To have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your
high-quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
And welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies, where we're going to be talking today about Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 5, and we're starting at verse 12. So we are now at the point, if you are joining us for the first part of our Roman study, we were moving pretty slow through those first couple of chapters.
Yeah, we were roaming through Romans, not racing through Romans.
Yeah, and today and probably next week as well, it's going to feel like we're racing a little bit. In this portion of Romans, Paul is creating concepts and presenting these concepts. And so we're going to be looking at the concepts one at a time. So today we're going to talk about being dead to sin and alive in Christ. And in contrast, we're also going to be talking about being born again, because this all has to do with spiritual life and spiritual death. And so that's what we're going to be going over today. Next week, we're actually going to be talking about a concept of being slaves to sin or slaves to righteousness. So you can just see he's going through, and the chapter breaks are a little bit weird for me. This time we're like kind of straddling two chapters, and next week we're kind of straddling two chapters. And for those of you who have never joined us before, it's because when the Bible was written, it was written in different forms. Like some of them were scrolls, right? That's what would have been a contemporary book back then, as a scroll. And some of them are letters, and we call those epistles. And the book of Romans is an epistle, so it was a letter that was written. And when you write letters, do you put verse breaks and chapter breaks in your letters, even if it's really long?
No.
No, like, that's weird. We wouldn't do that, right? And so Paul didn't do that either, okay? So at some point later on, someone went through, I don't remember who, there was a person who went through, but I don't remember who it was. And they assigned chapters and verses to every book of the Bible. And they did this because when we're studying Bibles, whether it's in church or on our own, it's really great to be able to reference.
Break apart and, like, take a little break, process what each one of them means.
Right. And you wouldn't want me to have to count through Romans and say, we're going to start on the 250th sentence today. Like, that would just be crazy. So can you imagine how they were having to navigate that before chapter breaks and verse breaks? So they're convenient. That's the good news. They're convenient. But that means that one dude who lived a very long time ago kind of decided, well, this is a new subject section, and this is a new subject section. And remember, it was written as one flowing letter. And often when I write... Cross yawned, and now the yawn is contagious. Everyone's yawning here. Oftentimes, when I write, one subject matter is going to kind of flow into another subject matter. Does that make sense? You've got these connected ideas. And that's the case with this idea in Romans. So we're going to connect the dots just a little bit. So if you're following along with us, open up to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. We'll start there. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, give me just one second. I'm going to welcome on our guest today, and I would like to see if her phone's working. Welcome, Jerlene Carney, to the show.
Yes, hello.
Jerlene,
hello.
Are you there? Hi.
I am.
Fantastic.
Can you hear me?
We're so
Hi. Happy.
Yes, I'm so glad you're here. So I was just in the middle of reading scripture, so not to interrupt that, I'm going to go ahead and finish reading scripture, then we'll pray us in, and we'll introduce you properly, okay?
That's perfect, most
so
definitely. Thank you.
Okay, so we're starting Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those sinning, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For many died through one man's trespass, much more have grace through God, and the free gift by grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and the life of all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were considered sinners, so by the one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. And that is, as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through the righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Are we to continue to sin that grace may abound? By no means. Try to figure out where I'm supposed to end. How can we who died to sin live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in the resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death has no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So let's pray real quick, and we'll introduce our guests, okay? Yeah. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be together, to share your word, and to share an amazing testimony, God. We thank you for the listeners that we had. We pray your Holy Spirit touch and move them, and that the words that come out of my mouth are yours and not mine, and that everything that we share today is what you intended for your ministry's sake and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen,
so,
amen.
Amen. So, Jolene, am I saying this correctly? Because I've never gotten to meet you before face-to-face. I'm so excited to talk to you.
Yes.
I've heard so much about you. Am I saying it right? Is it Jolene?
Yes, you're definitely saying it right. It's
okay.
Jolene. Yes.
Okay, so I want to tell everybody just a little bit about me. I'm not going to get too much into your testimony right now because we're going to save that for that second portion of our show. And I really, like, it's just more powerful coming from you. But Jolene's goal is to be empowered while empowering others. She's a local realtor, and she's a bright light with a beautiful personality. She always has her clients' best interest at heart to do whatever is needed to help them. Her focus is to empower while educating and informing people, and her background plays a huge part in who she is today. She was raised by a single father who was a Marine and a pastor and had quite a bit of structure in the home. And after wrestling, she was a wrestler for 13 years, and taking 6 3 years in a row, she went on to pursue her career in nursing. There, her passion to empower others grew. Let's see here. She is an analytical thinker and has strong people skills and started her career in real estate. And she's now paired with a remarkable brokerage as well. We're so excited to have you here so you can tell us about your personal testimony, Jolene. Thank you for joining us.
Woo!
Thank you for having me.
Now, let me see. I do have a caller on the other line. I don't see if they pressed one or not. I would like to see if they are coming. Okay, here we go. They do have their hand up. So let's find out who's there and see if we can help them out a little bit. Hi there. You're live with Dynamic Word Bible Studies. This is Felicia. Who do we have online today? Hello?
You have Alexandria.
Okay. This is who?
Alexandria Hinton.
Hi, how are you, Alexandria?
I'm doing great, and you?
We're wonderful. Are you,
I'm doing great.
Did you have a question, Mike? What was that?
I think she called her maybe the wrong number. She's a guest. She's just a guest calling in. She's one of my mentees. She's really speaking. And so maybe I gave her the wrong number. I'm not sure.
Actually, that's the right number, but when you press 1, it raises your hand and it says you want to talk to me. So if you're just wanting to listen, I'll put you back on the earphones, and then we do have a chat room available, so you can chat or you can text Jolene and let me know that you want to talk, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, I've got you back in now. All right, so let's go ahead, and I want to make sure I still have Jolene here, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, perfect. I just have phone numbers in there, and I want to make sure that I put the right one on hold. Okay. Here's the perspective we're looking at for this Bible study. When we become born again, we leave behind our natural descent from Adam and are born spiritually into the likeness of Christ. Therefore, we now must live a life that is dead to sin but alive in Jesus. And the question is, how are we supposed to live our life now that we are born again? So this is a unique concept, and I already have cross-looking it up. We haven't actually spoken about the concept of being born again, but we use that terminology in church all the time, and this passage alludes to it, although it doesn't call it being born again, okay? Like that word doesn't appear. But the person who used the word born again is actually a really good resource for good theological sound knowledge, and that was Jesus, right? Okay? He knows what's going on for sure. So let's explore that concept. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about being born again, and the verses are John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Do you want to read that for us, Cross?
Yeah, sure. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there is a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who is a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God was not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born."
That's awkward.
How are you supposed to answer that?
That was actually Nicodemus' response. That's kind of awkward. Like, my mom's old and I'm pretty big.
You mean like this Jesus man is part of a cult?
Keep going there, Cross.
That's kind of awkward. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." Wait, what? When am I supposed to read? 1 through?
Through 8.
Through 8, okay.
Okay, yeah, because we don't need to go into the rest of the conversation. The rest of the conversation is very interesting, but I can't read the entire Bible on air, so I'll let you guys read that at home. We've already read quite a bit of Scripture, okay? So there's a lot of interesting concepts there, right? Okay. And some of them are concepts that people have disagreements about within the church, you know, things like you must be born of both the water and the flesh, right?
Mm-hmm.
The water and the spirit, yes. So, you know, some people think that that's natural birth. Some people think that that's a referral to baptism. I kind of think that there are multiple referrals in there when he says that you must be born of water and of spirit. But I think a really good picture of it is when Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist, who baptized with water. That's what they kept saying. And his baptism was a baptism of repentance. And then he was baptized on the spot with the Spirit, because we see the Spirit come down on him. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Also, it said, so some churches believe that the Spirit descended upon him in the form of the dove, and some believe that it descended upon him like a dove.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I mean, honestly, we weren't there, right?
And so we don't have proof on which one's right. It could
well,
be either.
Well, I was about to say that it depends on the interpretation of the scripture. When you look at the original language, it could be either. Okay, and so I kind of tend to personally lean like a dove. And the reason I tend to personally lean like a dove is because when you see a representation of the Holy Spirit in the daytime, whether it's over the temple of the Lord or as they're following the cloud, the pillar of clouds in the desert, it's a cloud-like form. And you can see how it would look like a dove. Do you see what I'm saying? And when you see representation of
night, it's fire.
So think about in the darkness of the upper room during Pentecost, the tongues of fire, the pillar of fire by night through the desert. So I tend to lean that way because it seems consistent with the other ways that the Holy Spirit appears. Okay, so that's one of the interesting concepts here. Now, one of the concepts that we don't really explore very often there is when he talks about being born of water and being born of the Spirit. It says, because flesh reproduces flesh, but Spirit reproduces Spirit. And that's actually hearkening back to Genesis. So Paul is reiterating this concept here. He talks about the sin of one man, Adam, passing to all humankind, and Adam was in willful rebellion. In other words, we might be sinning, and sometimes we're not sinning in a rebellious way. We just are kind of naturally selfish and naturally self-absorbed, and kind of we just are sinful. But where Adam knew that there was a commandment that he was breaking, and he was in willful rebellion. And so death enters through sin. Even though the law wasn't given until Moses, people still did wrong things and sinned, but it may not have been intentional. And so he makes the point that it's not counted against in the same way. We know this, but we know that, so what was the wages of sin is?
Death.
Okay, so we know that we're in sin because we die. Everybody dies, right? If everybody dies, everybody sins. It's pretty simple, right? Pretty straightforward when you say it that way. You can see the penalty of sin not in guilt, not in shame, not in the weight that you carry, but in the fact that someday you're going to die. And that is what happened when sin entered into the world. Now, how did we inherit the sinfulness of Adam? This is where that whole Genesis stuff comes in. Can you look up Genesis 1:24? Because it's actually just like one verse, and I don't want anybody to miss it or think that I have made this up, okay? Because I never want to seem like I'm making stuff up. We know that sin embedded itself in Adam's flesh because when it said that Adam ate of the fruit, that sin enters into him. And in Genesis 1:24, I wrote the verse. You don't even have to look it up. The verse says, then God said, let the earth produce every sort of animal, and each kind producing offspring of the same kind. It does go on after that, but that was the important bit, is that we know by observing nature that animals produce the same kinds of animals, right? Mm-hmm. And if trees produce the same kinds of trees, flowers produce the same kind of flowers. We see that all over our lifetime. So we would never actually question that verse.
Like a pine tree its needles wouldn't fall off and reproduce an oak tree. It would reproduce a pine tree.
Yeah, technically, though, it's the pine cone that has seed.
Right.
Okay. So, yes, yeah, same concept. Okay. Now, when sin enters into Adam, his flesh is corrupted by sin, okay, and whatever that looked like. I wasn't there. I don't really know exactly what that looked like, right? Mm-hmm. Clearly, he understood he was naked, so something's changed, all right? And his flesh is now corrupted by sin, and when they reproduce and they have children, their flesh, just like their parents, is also corrupted by sin.
Dang it.
Right?
How rude.
So that's the explanation of that generational curse or whatever that comes from Adam, however you want to say that. It's really just the law of nature that God set up in Genesis that like reproduces after like. I'm going to pause here and see if anybody has anything to add at this point, and then I will keep going because I talk too much.
I'm sure Adam would be very popular up in heaven.
Yeah, no, everybody's like,
dude! Dude, come on!
Yeah, there you go.
Charlene, was there anything that stood out to you for this section?
No. I'm listening and touching and agreeing.
All right. So basically, everybody who follows after Adam and Eve, we're all reproduced into sin because like reproduces like. And so we start out with a sinful flesh, okay? Now we know how sin becomes a part of us, but then how does the righteous one act of Jesus get passed on to the many? This is where Jesus' conversation comes in about being born again of the Spirit. When we're born again, we die to our sinful selves. It's like we're literally like taking our sin and posting it up on the cross where Jesus died, and we crucify our sinful flesh with him, okay? We die to our sinful selves, and now we live the life as Jesus. So remember, Jesus died. He's crucifying the flesh. So Jesus was born of woman, right? Life reproduces like. That means that Jesus, who was fully God in personality and nature, okay, he leaves behind some of his godness, okay, because he can't, once he is put into a human body, he can't be omnipresent. We know he wasn't all-knowing anymore, right? He wasn't omniscient because, you know, he gets asked certain things and he actually says he doesn't know right now, right? And so he leaves behind some of the, shall we say, benefits of being God. But what he doesn't leave behind is his personality. He doesn't leave behind his character. And that gets poured into human flesh, which means he has the perfect character of God, but then poured into a flesh that sins. Okay? Because the flesh is reproduced after Mary, who is a sinful person, like reproduces after life. Because he is the offspring of both God and Mary, he like reproduces like on both halves. He's still uncorrupted, but in sinful flesh. That's why the Bible says that he faced the same kinds of temptations that we did, but without sin. Because it was totally possible for him to decide to depart from his character and walk in flesh if he wanted to.
And turn the rocks into bread or...
Yes, because that was, so that's like a whole other conversation.
Oh my gosh. After 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible just says he was hungry. I'm like, he was hungry?
You think he was really hungry, huh?
You think?
So yeah, because that whole episode was not about whether or not he was the correct person to be in charge of the whole world. Of course he was. That was part of what he was able to have. But he needed to do it in God's way and not his own way. So the whole temptation was about the devil trying to tempt him to do things his own way and depart from God the Father. Okay, so we'll have to talk about that another time. But moving forward. So when we become born again, we become like him because he produces after himself too. So now we still have sinful flesh because we're still in these vessels. But now we have the Holy Spirit of God within us and the mind of Christ within us, and we now are choosing, do we walk in the Spirit or do we walk in the flesh? And it's a constant choice for us. Now, it was probably an easier choice for Jesus because his character was right. My character's not right yet. God is making my character better and better all the time, okay? Just like Jesus, when our sinful flesh and our bodies die, we will be resurrected into a new life and into a new uncorrupted body. I can't wait for that to happen. And I hope mine's a little skinnier, too. just saying. So here we are now.
I hope mine's a little taller.
Well, I think you'll get taller anyway. So here we are now, saints in a sinful flesh with God's grace pouring over us. Some people are tempted to say that we should just keep on sinning after all. Doesn't it display God's grace more if we do? But they're not understanding the exchange that we made in being born again. When we're born again, we sent our sinful flesh to the cross with Jesus to die. And now we live our lives in and through him going forward. In a very real way, we are dead. And dead people don't sin. So I want you to think for a minute, okay? If some
Moose, dead.
That's the literal Hebrew translation. We're dead.
Moose.
So we're dead. We're dead physically, and we're, well, we die spiritually first, and that's that separation from God.
And a little while later.
In the process of dying physically, okay? Like, our bodies are unwinding little bit by little bit most of our lives, really, okay? So let's say this, okay? Pretend like a bank was stolen, or a bank was robbed, okay?
bank was stolen.
That'd be really hard to walk off of, right? But let's say that the bank was robbed and lots of jewels and money were missing and they found all the stuff at my house, okay? Now, to make this story clear, I'm going to tell you that my grandmother has been departed for about 15 years. She's been gone for a long time, okay? So they come over to my house and the bank was robbed yesterday and they find all the stuff. And I looked at them and I said, oh, well, I can explain this. It was part of my inheritance. My grandmother robbed the bank. And they go, oh, well, where's your grandmother? And I'll go, oh, okay, well, she's at such and such a mortuary because she's been dead for 15 years. Okay, are they going to buy my story?
No, because the bank was robbed yesterday.
And dead people don't sin. Right? Dead people don't rob banks. Dead people don't sin. So if we're really dead to ourselves, are we going to sin? No. So we're intending to sin, and we're going to mess up from time to time, but when we're intending to sin, what we're really expressing is that we are not in alignment with our belief that we're dead to sin and alive in Christ. Okay? So it's really an expression of what we believe. Do we really believe that? So how should we be living moving forward, you know, and I've got 3 points here, but it's our last 3 points. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and cut to commercial break. We'll make our last 3 points, and then we'll head right into Jolene's testimony.
It's such a good story. Honestly, it's like one of my favorites. I cannot wait for that.
I can't wait for her to share. So let's go ahead and cut to commercial break. We'll go over our 3 points, and then after that, just because I know that I really want you to be able to speak freely. I'm actually going to have Croc leave the room for your testimony because he's just a little tyke, and we want to make sure that you can speak freely, okay?
You're still little.
You're a little tyke for this one. Okay, so we're going to put everybody on hold real quick and cut to commercial break. Wow.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken...
Just as ungrounded signals wreak havoc on radio communications, there's growing concern that because we are not grounded, we absorb tremendous amounts of electromagnetic radiation from our modern devices. EMF stands for electromagnetic field.
We are all immersed in electromagnetic fields, from Wi-Fi, from the wiring in our homes, and it disturbs our electrical balance. We get charged. Inside of our bodies, we get electrically charged. Some people have as much as 20 volts on their bodies, and that's not good for you.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to wefunder.com/groundswellcard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
All right, and welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. This is your host, Felicia DeRozier, my co-host and my kids,
Mariah
and Cross.
And then we have a fabulous guest with us. Say hello, Jolene.
Hello.
There we go. We're about to roll into your testimony, and I can't wait to hear it. But I just wanted to finish up our last question for our Bible study, and that was, how should we live moving forward in view of being born again in Christ and dead to sin? The first one is, Cross, could you look up Philippians 1:21?
Sure.
The first one is, to live as Christ. Oh, never mind, I wrote it.
I think
you can just relax. How great is that? And that's where Paul says, for me to live as Christ and to die is gain. The second is to live transformed. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And finally, the third is to live in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So that is how we should be living, because now we are dead to sin and alive in Christ. So we'll get, and we'll get back to that in a minute. Right now, we have a testimony, and I'm so excited to hear it. We're going to excuse Cross from the room. And just so you know, this testimony is, it's a hard one. It's a tough one and a good one.
I'll be back for Q&A.
Yeah, we'll see you for Q&A. And so, you know, I'm covering little ears, but I'm so excited to hear what you have to say, because as adults, this is a powerful and impactful testimony. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you. Can you tell us a little bit about what life was like before Jesus and once you were born again and dead to sin and alive in Christ, and how he's changed you?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, most definitely. Well, again, my name is Jolene. I know you did a beautiful, you know, introduction. I appreciate that. Thank you for having me on the air. This is very exciting. So you asked what was, you know, life like before I turned my life over to God. To just give like I know you already mentioned it, but just a little bit of I just love to touch bases on this, and I'm sure you can relate. I like to make it clear that I was raised in the church before I go into my worldly talk. You know, I was, because a lot of the times parents don't realize. They go, oh, my child knew better. They knew better. And you just got to stand on God's living word that, you know, bring up a child in the way they should go when they get old. They won't depart from it. And so that is a part of my testimony. My father knew what he had to do, and that was to bring me up in the house of God, and it was me that decided to not even straddle the picket fence, as my dad called it, but just venture off, you know, just venture off and wanted to do me. I was raised in a pretty good area, Granada Hills, California. I lived in Pacoima, California, but I was raised in Granada Hills, California. It was a predominantly Jewish area, Jewish neighborhood. It was a beautiful upbringing. My dad always said, "You act so ghetto," and I didn't raise you in the ghetto. That was his joke, and I used to always be like, "Oh, come on, Dad." And as I got older, as the only child, I wanted to meet other people. You know, it was kind of boring being at home, just me and Pastor. You know, I had to go to church mm-hmm. 3-4 times a Sunday. I was in church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There was a period of our life where we actually had to live in the church because people, you know, not people, but tithes and offering wasn't getting paid. So my dad had to pick between having a luxury home or keeping the building. So he made us, my dad's a carpenter as well, so he made us like a home in the church. And a lot of people will go, "Oh, that's pretty convenient." It was torture, actually. It was not convenient. There was nothing about it that I liked. And it was a lot. I mean, think about it. You have funerals in churches. So I'm a kid, like, "Oh, all right." So as I got older, I decided to, you know, go look for siblings. And what happens when you go look for siblings? Well, you become part of a gang. And I didn't even realize that it was a gang back then because it was just people that had my back and we were friends. You know, I didn't realize that it was gang affiliated. And so my dad started realizing I was wearing a lot of a certain color. And as a couple years went by, you know, it was about, I got pregnant at a young age. I had my baby at 17. And after I turned 18, I just really went left, you know. And from 18 to, I want to say, about 24, Jerlene was in the world. So the big gist of our my testimony is just to make sure people are aware that when God gives us a gift, the gift can be used in any way that, you know, in the way that we use it, right? Because God gives us the free will. So if you have the gift of, you know, giving, you can give to Satan or you can give to the Lord's children. God's not going to force you to do anything. You have the gift of free will, you know. And my gift was, me and the Lord have a lot of jokes. So one of my gifts was the gift of gab and the gift of hustling. So what had happened with that? I became the neighborhood pharmacist. I became the neighborhood pharmacist. And if you don't know what that means, I don't know, Google it. I don't know, look in the Urban Dictionary. I don't know if it's in there, but I became the neighborhood pharmacist. And then I ended up becoming a madame. And a madame is where, you know, these women, they were open. They wanted to sell themselves, but they needed structure. I did not want to sell myself, and I didn't mind being the structure. I did not understand the seriousness of what I was getting myself into. I just thought I was giving these women a ride and helping them with their hotel room and, you know, giving them structure. It wasn't until, you know, I got pulled over and I was told, you know, "We can give you 25 years to life." And I said, "What? I am a preacher's pastor's daughter raised in a predominantly Jewish neighborhood, and I didn't even know I was part of a gang until like a year later. 25 years to life? What is that? That's like on the movies, you know." And they explained to me that, you know, what's going on is not, you know, you're not supposed to be doing this. So long story short, I did leave that world once I got married, but I did not start walking with God just yet. I had different young women that I would allow to come move in, and I would have their bag and allow them to get on their feet. But I still wasn't doing it in the way that the Lord seemed fit. And it wasn't until I visited a church, because even though I was worldly, I knew to take my behind the church every now and then because it was planted in me. So I went trying to visit a mm-hmm. church, and I was pointed out, and the lady said, "You have an anointing," and she prophesied on me. That day I received the Holy Spirit, and two weeks went by, and they said I was like the best worker. I wasn't arguing with people. I don't really remember those 2 weeks, but to fast forward, I ended up mentoring about 8 more different women. I have 2 that live in the home with me now, 2 beautiful 22-year-olds. I think they're on the line. Actually, they're on the call. They're on, and They have their, they go to school, they go to work. Most of the things that they do is their first time doing things. We practice celibacy, you know, remaining a virgin, all of these things. But it goes back to my gift, right? My gift was bringing women together, uplifting them, because it was the same thing I did as a madame. It wasn't like I was out there, you know, saying, go sell your bodies and bring me the money back. No, it was like, go to your doctor's appointment. And is this really what you want to do? Okay, you know, and checking on them. And that same gift, I was able to see things in those women back then. And, you know, maybe it's time for you to go back home to your family, you know. And that same gift, I'm able to use it now, but I'm able to use it for the kingdom of God. And as I started dissecting this and learning things with God, I learned that the same thing is with, you know, these people that are on Call Me Now, I'm Miss Cleo. Let me read you. You know, those are supposed to be prophets, but they have chosen to use
right.
their gift for the enemy, you know. And so
right.
same thing. It's that we have the gift, and you have to pick what side you want to pick. You want to be on. There is no in between. There is no saddle in the picket fence. And when you do pick the Lord's side, things are able to elevate even better. For example, with these young women, the Bible says you know a person by their fruit. I don't really recall being recognized, not that it matters, or being blessed when I was using my gift for the enemy. But now that I use my gift for God, these young women are a blessing to me. You know, was it in the beginning? It was a little bit of a pulling teeth, and, you know, sometimes it still is. But you know a person by their fruit. So because I've taught them how to cook and different cleaning methods and how to drive and get their license, what happens? Well, we get full course meals every night. You know, if my kids need a ride, they get picked up. You know, it's iron sharpens iron, but I'm blessed because I've been a blessing. And just knowing what side to use my gift on, what side to use it. I don't sell drugs anymore, but I sell houses. So just knowing the difference and knowing that we have this, that anointing is in you, and making sure that your blessings are going, you're not going to receive your blessings any other way but unless you use it for the kingdom of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a gentleman, and he doesn't insert himself, but we have to ask, and you shall receive. Oftentimes people always say, you know, oh, I'm waiting for God to do this and God to do that, when really he's waiting on you to say, you know, can I come in? You know, are you welcoming me in the door? So I don't know if I hit the point correctly there.
I got you. I think great. Yeah. Oh, and you got more for me, or do you want to ask you some questions?
Do you have any questions? Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So I really loved the turning point in your story, which really also illustrated what we were talking about with the Bible study, and that was when you were talking about being prophesied over, and that is usually such a miraculous turning point for someone when they're pointed out and the Lord is using someone to speak to them, because that's all prophecy is, right? It's just God speaking
right.
through a person to another person. And that you were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that was really that whole point that was being made to Nicodemus, that whole being born of both the water and the Spirit, where the Spirit enters into you. Was there ever a time after that happened where you struggled with that whole contemplation of, like, well, now God's forgiven me. Can't I just keep sinning, keep living life the way that I know how?
You know, this may sound a little bit of a, because I call myself the kiss butt of Jesus. So this may sound a little bit of, oh, come on, Jolene. But I would have to, you know, to be honest, no. I think growing up watching, you know, oftentimes people want to judge Christianity, right? And I did. I was one of those people. And it was where we sit back and we go, oh, whatever happened to so-and-so. I heard her cuss, or I heard they were fornicating, or I heard X, Y, and Z. And then they choose to use that as a way of, oh, that's why I don't want to go to church, because of this person, that person. So would I intentionally sin? No. Absolutely. Just because I've seen it growing up, and it just makes me uncomfortable. Do I know that when I have sinned, am I forgiven and And I'm like, oopsie, you know, oh, what was that? Because sometimes we don't even know we're sinning. Sometimes it's like, oh, that's a conviction. Oh, I'm being convicted. What did I do, right? And then you got to go all the way back. So not that the Lord doesn't find grace and mercy, but I don't exactly remember where, but his grace can run. I don't want to say the word run out, but I know it's somewhere in the, and I don't want to quote it incorrectly, but from what I've read, that God's grace and mercy is always there, but it can run thin. It can run out, meaning if you're purposely doing things, you know, you can't beg to be up under the umbrella if you're purposely sticking your foot out there, you know. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. And to that point, I think that there's a difference, and we've talked about this before, but there's a difference between, you know, once you are grafted into the family of God, you're adopted into the family of God, okay? And you're going to sin from time to time past that. And, of course, God doesn't like sin. He doesn't want sin. There's going to be conviction. He's going to try to change that in you. But he doesn't disown you. You know,
And that's
the difference. I think that people,
yes,
people get worried about, well, if I jack anything up, then, you know, he's going to go down to, you know, the Clark County government building, and he's going to take my name off of the
right
list of his kids and my last name. And that doesn't happen. It does strain your relationship with the Lord until you come back on his mission. But
this is, and to just kind of add in on that, when I first had my encounter with the Lord, I had a dream of a fish tank, and the Lord said, do not place me in that fish tank. And I didn't understand what God meant. I woke up and I said, what do you mean don't place you in that fish tank? And the Lord said, you grew up very religiously, and I don't want you to feel so religious to where you don't want to be a part of this walk with me. And many others feel the same way. And he said, I'm not in the fish tank, but I am the ocean. And I was like, wow.
Right.
I mean, obviously bigger than the ocean, but you understand the concept of what God was trying to, you know, I grew up non-denomination, but I went to a lot of Baptist churches. So much to me, when I first had my encounter, I became that religious, annoying believer where everybody had to be perfect. Everything had to do this, do that, do this. And then I went through my first encounter of the wilderness. And going through that, I must have failed. You know, we fall seven times. You know, seven times. Got to forgive. I failed so many different times, and just different things that I was going through. I quit smoking for like 3 years. I started smoking again. You know, just different stuff. And I remember God whispering to me and saying, "And I still love you just as much. You're beating yourself up more. You're allowing the enemy to condemn you when I still love you. I wanted you to go through that so that you can understand that everybody isn't going to be perfect." So to answer your question even more thorough, like even right now I work in the medical field, and there's probably about 50 people that are living very worldly, but they don't feel like that when they come to me because I let them know, you know, no, you don't want to blatantly go out there and sin, but don't be so hard on yourself. Don't think that Jesus won't love you. Don't think that you can't walk with God. It is a relationship. It is between you and God, and you're going to mess up, but that's why the Lord got on that cross. And the way that I like to, you know, I'm like, God literally placed himself in a womb and gave birth to himself just for that, you know, and when people grasp that concept, they're like, wow, you know, and I like to say, you know, he placed himself in a womb and literally, you know, that's what the Lord did, and then he gave birth to himself. And he said, this is how it's to be done. Now let me get on this cross, and you're going to be okay. So we're going to, you know, you're going to have bumps and bruises and slip-ups, but repentance. I think I repent probably. I think the word repent in my vocabulary all day long, just in case, just in case, you know. And so, you know, I'm just like, I repent. And the Lord's like, Jerlene, you just got the bubble guts. I'm like, oh, okay. Just want to be a lady, Lord, you know, just want to be a lady, you know, because we oftentimes, but yeah, it's a relationship. It's about a relationship. Another thing I'm learning, you know, there's things that you're going to be able to do that I'm not going to be able to do. And there's things that I'm going to be allowed to do that you're not going to be allowed to do. And I think that a lot of people need to understand that when we go out there and we reach and we minister to people that, you know, maybe Sister Suzanne can have a glass of wine, you know, and God probably told you not to have a glass of wine. That doesn't mean you have to get on the mic and scream to the entire world that no one can have a glass of wine. No, God told you, boo-boo, okay, that you can't have a glass of wine.
Right.
He didn't tell Sue that she can't. She's not an alcoholic. She doesn't have the demon of alcohol. She's not. That's not a generational curse in her bloodline. She literally has a glass of wine and goes to bed. So I think that there's, because, you know, for me, God told me I couldn't have a glass of wine, and I was like, wait, what do you mean? And the Lord said, there's reasons. You know, I've called you for a different, we all have a purpose, and knowing our purpose and our relationship with God and not feeling so condemned, because those that are in Christ receive no condemnation from the enemy. And knowing what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do, and receiving your three confirmations and just going on about your relationship. Because if you sit back and you try to compare your walk to anybody else's walk, you know, you're going to feel icky and you're not going to want to do it. You're just not. You're going to, I don't want, it's too hard. It's too hard. God would not, people go, oh, God, I want to give you more than you can bear. He wouldn't. I have two 22-year-old women living in my home right now. Do you know what that looks like during Mother Nature time? But it's okay. We got this, right?
I understand, because I don't have two 22-year-old women, but I have a 23-year-old and I have a 14-year-old living in my home. And, yes, everything matches up precisely where nature calls.
The boys run.
And throw chocolate at us.
Yeah.
It's just okay. I don't mind chocolate.
It's happening.
I know. I'm sorry. She's on a special restricted diet right now where chocolate's not a part of it. And I'm sad for you, but
be sad for the boys.
I am a little sad for the boys, but they'll survive. But
they will.
But to the point, yes, I agree completely. Like, there are certain things. When I was a kid, I was a communications major in college. I loved talking, and I wanted to get paid for it someday. Still never get paid for talking, but that's okay. That's what I studied in college, and I remember. I was born again at 19, okay, going to church at 19 years old. Really had no background in faith, but I knew the Lord's voice, and the Lord would speak to me. And I remember just clear as day, one of the very first things he spoke to me was that rated R films were not a thing for me. Now, I have seen a couple of rated R films, okay, but one of which was The Passion of the Christ, and I had to pray over whether or not God wanted me to see it. Okay, because the subject matter is great, but he called me not to be watching rated R films. And to be honest, I don't watch many PG-13 films either, because I really feel like the Lord told me that I was just sensitive to the content and that he wanted my heart to remain sensitive to what was going on around me in the world and not to be hardened. I have a ton of friends who watch things that I would never watch on film, because they don't have that particular conviction. That's a personal conviction, right? That God's told me, you don't get to do that. You don't get to. And I'm there with you on the wine. I don't do the wine. I don't do any of that. But that's one of the ones that comes up quite often, is people go, oh, let's go watch this movie. I'm like, oh, what's the rating on it? It's rated R. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have to pass, you know? And I am well over the age of being able to watch rated R movies, but it just was something that God told me from the get-go. Just, I don't want you to corrupt your mind with it, you know? So if you can believe it, I know that we were talking before and we were like, 27 minutes seems like such a long time, but we're right there.
No, I had a question. I wanted to hear another part of your story.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. Keep your question. Keep it right at the top of your mind, okay? And then you can ask it at the top of the hour as soon as we come back from our commercial break, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, Freedomist Proof here. Just want to let everybody know that I have a trusted source for EMF protection. So you can block out this 5G possibly from your cell phone or any other electronic devices. Go to groundwithgia.com and please check out the selection of products that you might need to help filter out all this electronic garbage that's going to get into your house, into your life. So most of us have cell phones except for me. You're going to want to protect yourself. We all have Wi-Fi, and you definitely want to do something about this. Please check it out, groundwithgia.com. That's ground with G-I-A, Gia.com.
We all know that times are tough and things are really expensive right now, so why not save a little bit of your wallet as well as the landfill? Marty.com carries high-quality products at low, low prices, sometimes up to 70% off of retail. I just got a wonderful package of beef jerky for 1 cent sent to my house through Marty.com. Marty.com offers high-quality products at discount prices. Why? Well, sometimes products are seasonal or overstocked, or packaging just changes. It's still great quality food, but it's going to end up in the landfill if we don't find some way to distribute it. And leave that to Marty.com. Now, if you want to save a little extra today, you can get $20 off your first order by going to our Facebook group for Dynamic Word Bible Studies and picking up a discount code there. So check out Dynamic Word Bible Study.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say something. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
And welcome back to Dynamic Word Bible Studies. This is your host, Felicia DeRozier, my co-host and daughter,
Mariah.
Cross is out of the room right now, and we're joined by our guest, Geraldine. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Awesome.
You
I know Mariah had... We're good. I know Mariah, we just heard your amazing testimony, and Mariah had one quick question before we move into our Bible study questions.
It was just, it's my favorite part of your story because I've heard it before. And it's just, it's my favorite, and I just love it. But it's the part where you are asking God to, like, show you that he's real, and it involves a TV and a special phone call. It's my favorite. I just love that. And I just was wondering if you'd be willing to, like,
actually,
just share that.
Yeah, it's actually my favorite part of my salvation. But I never think to entertain people because I always go, they're probably going to, like, go, it just sounds like a movie. But, yeah, I'll definitely tell it. So I was actually where I work at now. It's a rehabilitation home. And I was working in the kitchen, and I was fighting with, like, everybody in the kitchen. And because something was wrong with all of them. It couldn't have been me, right? Like, I'm perfect. I'm great. That's what I thought. And so it was, like, the third person I was helping. Yeah, it wasn't me, sis. And so it was like the third or fourth person that I got into it with. And I went home, and at the time I was smoking marijuana. And I said, what is going on, Lord? And I rolled my little joint, and I said, I sat on the couch, and I said, you know what, maybe let me see if this praying thing is real. At this time, I'm like 28. So you would think, right, a pastor's daughter who went to vacation Bible school every summer her whole life, who lived in the church, I mean, all these different things, you would think at the age of 28 that I knew the Lord was real. You know, I don't believe I have jealousy, but when I hear stories like you, Felicia, and saying you've been saved since you were 19, or my mentees who've been saved for I was, you know, but I'm grateful for the journey up to 28. So I got on my knees and I put
right.
a little joint in the ashtray and I got on my knees and I said, let me just see if you're real. And I did. I got on them and I said, if you're real, make the TV fall off the wall. And I had like a 65-inch and it was like 4 feet away from me. So if it would have fell off the wall, it would have hit me in the back of the head. But like, I didn't really care. I was just
right.
like, just do something, you know, like I got to see something happen. So I turn around and nothing happened to the TV. And I was getting ready to get up, and then I said, can you have my friend Darnisha give me a call, you know, if you're real? Now, this is like one of my, like, she's like my little ghetto chick, okay? She still is. She owns it. She's from the projects in Los Angeles, and she'll tell you, you know, she owns who she is. And she calls me about once a year, because I've had the same number for 13, 14 years, just to let me know that she's still alive because she's just that worldly. So I hadn't heard from her in about a year, and I didn't think she would have just called me, you know. But I knew. I said, can you just have her call me? I wrote her name down in my little prayer book, and by the time I'm getting up, one leg was off the ground. So, you know, you're on your knees, and you get up by, you know, bringing one leg up first. So I got up to bring that one leg mm-hmm. up, and my phone starts ringing, and it was like a 310-323 number, and that's Los Angeles. And not only did my phone start ringing, but it was also my first time hearing the voice of the Lord so loud. And it was kind of like a don't play with me. And I said, huh? And I was like, don't play with you. You know, it kind of sounded a little hood, like don't play with me. And I was like, and then I heard, that's Darnisha. Then I heard, that's Darnisha. So I answered the phone, hello. And remember, this girl is just, she's just this girl. She gets on the phone and she goes,
right.
Hey, girl. And I was like, hey. She was like, I don't know. But it was like something, God or something told me to call you, girl. I ain't never heard nothing. So I just did, girl. I just called to say what's up. It was something that said to call, girl. I felt the urgency. And I was like, I'm just standing there looking. So I look at the joint, right, because, like, maybe I'm high. No, I didn't even light it. I wasn't high. I was like,
oh, wow.
Oh. And so I never lit it, by the way. That's another part of the testimony. It sat there for, like, ever, and I never came back to it. It was a very trippy, beautiful experience. I've heard people say, I'm scared to have an encounter like that. And I always say, there's a button of fear in our body. And when God gives you that encounter, it's like he pushes that button. And all of what we think we're scared of and anxiety and all of that, it's like goes right out the window. And you don't feel any fear from Jesus Christ. The presence is soothing and warming and comforting, you know. And even with that, you know, phone call and don't play with me, I'm so grateful that the TV didn't fall off the wall because I would not have been able to afford it at that time. But, you know, I sit back and I think about
yeah.
that because that encounter would scare – people would be like, oh, I would have been scared. You know, there was no fear. I got up, and that's when I had my encounter, and I was saved. When the Holy Spirit did that I actually started speaking in tongues. Everything happened right then and there. So it was a beautiful, like I said even before, ask and you shall receive. He's a gentleman. So for 28 years, I never asked if God was real. You know,
right.
I never just said, are you real? I think I was scared. I was scared because I was raised in the house of the Lord. And you're not allowed to, what I thought was, you're not allowed to question, when in fact you are. You can do things respectfully. You do things right. But you're allowed to say, Lord, are you real? He wants you to come to him like that, you know, in your nakedness.
Right.
And have your ghetto friend call you from L.A. downtown while she's walking up and down the streets going crazy. So she loves that she's a part of my testimony because she still calls me a lot more now. But yeah, so did I tell it right, Mariah?
Yes, this is my favorite because like even God can be a little gangster sometimes, and he'll meet you right where you're at in a way that you understand. And also the part where it's love casts out all fears, where it's scary coming to the throne. It's not supposed to be.
but sometimes it is. Like you said, we just have this natural fear inside of us. But once we take that step of being like, hey, what's up? And God's like, hey.
Right.
Yeah, I would say that the presence of the Lord is very disarming. Like
he's
not unaware of how glorious he is, and when we come to him in weakness. And I think we talked about last week that's when he decided the best time to come to us was when we were sickest and weakest and most broken. And you know this, Jolene, because you're a nurse. And so when someone's sick and broken and weak, that's not the time to be demanding and forceful. Like, you have a tender presence with someone in that position. And I think God has that too.
I would pick you to be my nurse.
Yes, he does. Yes.
Well, let's hop into our Bible study questions real quick. I was about to say, I don't know if you're able to stay with us or if you need to hop back into work. I know you're busy down there.
Yes, I do. I got to jump back in there. I'm actually looking at my list right now.
No worries. Well, we are so thankful that you came and that you shared with us that little extra bit of your testimony as well. And God bless you and your continued ministry. I know you didn't get a chance to talk too much about your ministries. I know that you're running a church service at a rehabilitation center and things like that. So if you want me to shout out to any of your ministries, I know you have to go, but you can go ahead and send me that information. I'll put it on our website or our Facebook page and shout it out to our listeners, okay?
Okay, no, perfect. Thank you so much. I do appreciate you guys, and hopefully I can come back on again. I enjoyed myself. I got to jump back over here.
Yes.
Everybody told me to back on the rise. So they want us to. So I got to, they're popping up positive. So keep them in my patients in prayer, and I do appreciate it.
All right. Well, we'll be praying for them as well. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. God bless you. You too.
Okay. So moving forward into our question and answer, let's talk about what are some practical ways for us to be able to crucify the desires of the flesh.
That's a hard one. I think, recently I just did a deliverance class at my church, mm-hmm. and, there was some wild stuff that they were talking about because, you know, demonic deliverance, it's a thing, and it's wild, and it's crazy, and there's so much that you can go into on that.
Yeah.
But one of them was when we're dealing with strongholds or our dog's going crazy. Trying to take care of those strongholds was that you have to call it out, you know, because and the thing is when it comes to certain desires, it wants to draw attention to itself.
Mm-hmm.
It wants to be the center of attention. It's not humble or trying to scurry away. No. It wants to let you know, hey, I have power over you, and you're too weak to stop me from leaving you, from causing you to get stronger than me, beat you down every single chance I get.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, it's to remember our identity first and foremost. And that's the thing, is if we don't have identity, this is another thing, I'm going to go on a rampage here, but if we don't know our identity, we don't have authority. And so...
Well, we do have authority, we just don't use it.
Right, sorry, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
So we have to call out what the desire is. So lust, I'm calling out lust in my life, I'm calling it out, and I'm going to replace it with biblical scriptures and God's word, and fill it with purity, with love, with grace and mercy. Because if we don't do that, it's just going to come back stronger.
So you just preached next week's sermon because we're going to be talking about dominion. And it's kind of funny. I'm laughing as you're saying this because I'm in the midst of reading next week's show and writing next week's show. And And a lot of it does. It has to do with deliverance and identity.
Oh, sure. Well, identity is really important for me, especially in dominion, because, like, that's my thing. And, like, that's even a thing for us culturally here in America, is we have so many people in – I'm so sorry. I'm going to be calling out some people, so you might
– careful.
Sorry. I will do my best. Okay. But we've got some people that are a part of some very popular worldly groups, like
movements
of, can I say that? Am I allowed to say that?
I would just say that when we make what God's asked us not to do, our identity and part of a social movement, there's a problem.
Right.
Did I word that gently for you?
Sure.
Okay.
We have so many people that are saying, oh, I'm born this way. This is who I am. I was born this way. Well, what was that? God says we have to be born again.
I will say this, is that I was born a lot of ways. I was born into sin. That's part of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge argument, because I think that we present sometimes coming to Christ too lightly. I think that we present it as, you know, we did that whole show on Jesus is my favorite flavor of ice cream and he tastes good. You should try him. And that's really not it. Like, you know, Jesus is your parachute because you're perishing and you don't know it. And without him, you actually will live eternally, but eternally separated from God in spiritual death. And that's not a good thing. You need Jesus in order to have eternal life glorious in God's presence. And it's part of the problem is that we have that aspect of it wrong when we're presenting Jesus. And so it can be really, really hard to not understand that what we'll give up.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when we don't understand it, we can be embittered about what we give up.
Mm-hmm.
I remember there was a story. I want to get back to the question soon because it's actually a really good question. But there was a story you had about you getting prepared to go on a mission, and you had a dream, but it was your dream.
The Yellow House. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That was so frustrating because it was a dream. It didn't mean anything physically. On the surface level. I wanted my own home that was a yellow house with a picket fence and a tire swing. And in my home, I would have children and I would have Bible studies and lemonade and a yard that was big enough for kids to play football in and do like young adult studies and youth studies and things like that and have peace.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted normalcy in my home. I wanted people to feel safe, and I wanted to feel safe.
Right. And to be clear, a lot of that's rooted in, like, early on in your childhood, I had some really rocky spots, and I was twice divorced, and there were good reasons for those.
No, they were very good reasons, and I'm glad you did.
That still gave you this, during your foundational years, this unsettled feeling. We've had a peaceful home since then.
Yes.
But that unsettled feeling stayed with you until you still longed for that.
Mm-hmm.
And God called you to give that dream up.
I was so mad.
And you were real angry.
I was. 3 days.
Yeah. But sometimes I think that we come to Jesus thinking that we get to keep everything that we are and want. And really we're called to live as Christ, as if Christ never was crucified. We crucify our flesh to the cross, which means that now as we live, we live the life that Christ would have had he not died, because remember, the wages of sin is death, but he never sinned. So he should still be alive, and he lives through us. Mm-hmm. We're the ones that died crucified on the cross, right? So practically, I'm going to get back to the question. Now we're going to 360 and revisit this question. Some practical ways of crucifying the desires of the flesh. One of the things that is, to me, a really good one is, and this is not one that we do very often, but fasting and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that I really understood the dynamic of fasting until I started studying. I do a Bible school that I participate in. And when I started studying the concepts in the Bible, fasting was was very interesting to me, because in the American church, we don't spend a lot of time fasting. But it's a very real way to deny the flesh. And I think that we don't put enough emphasis on the denial of flesh and earthly pleasure, because that is one of the ways that you control the sin and its desires, is to practice even in the small ways, even if it's giving up chocolate or giving up
social media. It doesn't
social
have to
media
be
or meat. Like, you can, like, I had one time where I gave up all meat and sweets. Man, that sucks. That was a rough couple of weeks. But every meal of every day, I was denying my flesh the pleasure that it wanted, and that made way for additional connection with the Spirit, because I'm acting in obedience to deny my flesh. And it's not just that God responds to it, but I respond to it with listening ears. I respond to it with the ability to hear the Holy Spirit in a way that I couldn't when I wasn't denying my flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Other practical ways to crucify the desires of the flesh. Man, you know, I got this tip in one of my classes, and it was an amazing tip, and I never really thought of it before, but praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is really it's a form of spiritual yielding. Submission, okay? And of course, I do pray in tongues. That was a whole story, too, because God gifted me with that, but he also let me see it one time before I actually was gifted it. And that has everything to do with just yielding in faith to God. So if you don't pray in tongues now, just know that it's promised to you, and know that God will deliver on that promise. And in the meantime, just submit to him in prayer, submit to him in worship. Whatever position you can get yourself into where you're submitting to God of your own will. But, you know, great ways, prayer, worship, praying in tongues, and fasting is also a really, really good one.
Mm-hmm. I like this song, like, this is how I fight my battles.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember that line. This is how I fight my battles.
Yep.
But yeah, it's worship, praying, getting on your knees. It's good.
Right. It's good. Literally just all about shifting. I think the best news that I heard in any of my classes, was that, God gave us control over our mind. So, we have the flesh that is tempting us. We have the Spirit, which is calling us into obedience to Christ. But our mind gets to decide what it's fixed upon. And mm-hmm. so when we fix our mind on Christ and on the things of God, then we're able to crucify those desires of the flesh.
And that's tricky, because, like, a lot of people get tripped up on that, especially where we live, because we live in Vegas, you know. So
Sin City, yeah.
It's Sin City. It's on billboards everywhere. Everywhere. It's not just on the Strip. It's everywhere. And lately, like, there's even signs that are like, we'll hire ex-Twitter people and
I
whatnot.
I saw that one.
That's really funny.
It was kind of funny.
We'll hire ex-college students or whatever. It's messed up, but it's really funny.
It's super messed up, and like, the worldliness in me had to really hold back laughter, because my children were in the car. And we have certain neighborhoods that we drive through in Vegas that I have the kids, I just tell them to look down, right? Because I don't want them overly exposed. But we live next to these neighborhoods. You're going to drive through them from time to time. And I saw that. We'll hire ex-Twitter employees, check mark verification is free or on us or something like that.
Yeah.
It was a whole thing. And it was a comical approach, but it was really still trying to lure people into a sinful lifestyle.
What I'm getting at is that, because of where we live, what we see,
mm-hmm.
we can't control that. Because
right.
you and I, we drive. So we're going to see it. And it's going to pop up at us.
For clarification, we also happen to live about 5 minutes away from the Las Vegas Strip in the downtown area.
Like, we can, like walk across the street.
We can see it from our house. It's not...
Just walk across the street and you're in.
This is not an avoidance thing. It can't be avoided.
Right. So we're not trying to be like, oh, whatever, it's fine. Like, no, we can't help it. And it's the same for anything else. Social media, TV, it's everywhere now. We can't help what's going to be coming at our eyes, but we can control what goes in our minds.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, if I pass by a billboard, first of all, I can physically ignore it. I can do my best to not be there. I can do like what I tell my kids. Obviously, I can't do that because I'm driving and I'm on the road and it's bad to look down while you're driving, but I can have my children avert their eyes so that they're not dealing with that as a fixation. But yeah.
My pastor has a story similar where he's like, he goes to the gym and, you know, at the gym, there's ladies, you know, and he's a happily married man. He's happy, 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 happy married. But he knows how many light fixtures there are on the gym ceiling, 47 light fixtures, because where is he putting his eyes? He's putting his eyes up there. Is he going to see the ladies? Yes, but he's not going to entertain it by staring. He's going to be counting 47 light fixtures, and after 47 light fixtures, he moves on to the next thing and counts them again.
You know, and it's funny because I don't remember, maybe it was when we were talking to Michelle. Maybe it wasn't when we were talking to Michelle. I feel like I was driving. Anyway, I was talking to someone. I'd like to give you credit if I can remember. And they were talking about us entertaining angels, entertaining sin, and entertaining demons. And that the word, maybe I was listening to a broadcast, the word entertain has the word enter in it.
Ah.
And that the derivative of it is entertaining the demonic. Okay, and so there's this aspect of it entering into us and corrupting us. Maybe it was Lauren. The aspect of us, of it entering into us and corrupting us from inside, but we're the ones welcoming it. And so
all they need is a hairline crack.
Right. So we don't need to entertain thoughts of evil or sin or demise or demonic. We want to entertain the thoughts of the Lord, so that that's what's entering into us.
Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is true, whatever is noble.
Right.
That's how you live a new life.
Right, right, right. And so I think, and this is up to question two, we were talking about how dead men don't sin, and we probably only got, believe it or not, like 3 more minutes.
I'm so sorry.
But don't be sorry. This is, you know, we're talking about good stuff here, right? Dead men don't sin. And I think that it is much harder to not do something than to do something,
mm-hmm.
right? So what kinds of things can we do to avoid being available to sin?
Mm. Well, I think that you kind of answered that in your previous one where it's just pray, worship, make God's voice louder.
Right, right, right. And I think serving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Jerlyn, in her testimony, was talking about how she has these gifts and talents that she was using in a way that was very much against the kingdom of God before she became saved, but that after she became saved, her gifts and talents didn't go anywhere. They were the same there, and she was able to then utilize those things for God's kingdom. And so I think that sometimes we can come to a place where we don't see the great adventure of being in God's kingdom for what it is. And we can spend a lot of time going, well, you know, I used to be able to do all these great things, but now I can't. And that's not true. You just have to find the way that God is going to utilize, you know, in her case, it was her hustle to the gab, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that you are utilizing in the way of the Antichrist, let's say, you know, for lack of a better term, against the kingdom of God. Now you're going to have those same gifts and talents, but you're going to submit them to God's kingdom for his use,
right.
Which is good stuff.
And I think especially for Jerlyn, because I've gotten to talk to her a few times at church. She has, and I don't know if this is an actual gift, but I'm claiming it as one, but the gift of influence.
She does. Yeah.
She does, because she influenced women on both ends.
Mm-hmm.
And influencers always get influenced as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you allowing yourself to be influenced by? Because
right.
It's not just you anymore.
Right.
People are watching you everywhere.
There's a power of multiplication with that gift.
Mm-hmm. And dang, she's good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then real quick, I've got 20 seconds. That's not enough time.
Why don't we just go ahead and read the questions, and then
okay.
They can answer it.
So what does it look like when we live as Christ? What are some ways to dive into the renewing of our minds? what do you do to keep from sinning, and how can you walk in the Spirit when sin tempts you?
We can also put these questions on our Facebook page,
sure,
and Instagram, and just write down your answers in the comments, because we actually want to hear from you guys, because this is important stuff. Food for thought.
So fun. Yeah. All right. Well, God bless everybody. Thank you for joining us, and I hope that you have a blessed and wonderful day. Take care. Bye.